In the passage we're about to hear, it is about holiness. I'd also like you to be thinking, as we hear this word and as Bob comes up and reads it from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13, and invite you to pull out your Bibles or your Bible apps or however you're going to access God's word today, to be listening for also words of identity and perspective. So, Bob, would you come and read God's word for us?
Reading from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 through 25 in the NIV. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Thanks, Bob. You know, there's some things we just can't do for ourselves, at least not very well. Who's ever tried to give themselves a haircut? Now, it generally doesn't go very well, does it? Now, imagine if you did that without a mirror. Some of you are like, you look like you've done that without a mirror. I'm like, okay, that's fine, fair enough, but there's just some things we cannot do for ourselves, at least not very well. And because we lack the perspective, or when we are from just thinking, kind of from the inside looking out, we just lack the perspective to do it well. And these questions of holiness are much like that. I was thinking about how perspective applies in my own life, and so here's probably one of the best ones, I guess, I've got. When I'm training somebody to preach or training somebody to worship lead, there's several parts involved in kind of being ready to share God's word. I mean, there's obviously the study portion. I mean, you want to make certain you've gone deep into the word and looked at all the language issues and all the commentaries and all those kind of things and make certain that you understand what it's saying. But if that's all that you have, then when you're coming to share, most of the internal conversation at that point is more about things like, gosh, I hope I say this right, and gosh, I hope I get all the facts straight, and gosh, I hope I don't offend anybody or unnecessarily. I'm always going to offend somebody. But God, I hope I don't mess this up. And the thought process is predominantly inward. Oh, Jesus, help me not to blow this. And when I'm doing that, at least when that happens, when my thought process turns inward, and I would say also when their thought process turns inward, doing something like this is really scary. There's a lot of anxiety because you're thinking, okay, this is the moment where I could really foul things up. Lots of pressure. Don't mess it up, Andrew. Don't mess it up. But I know that I'm actually ready to preach when I'm asking an entirely different set of questions. I start to think about things like, what if somebody doesn't hear this message today? What's at stake? I think about the struggling marriage that they are just barely hanging on. I mean, they look good on the outside, but they are just barely hanging on. They're thinking, just give me some reason to believe that God is actually in my life, our lives, and that there's some way to continue. I think of the person on the edge of depression and are just desperate for some word that says, you matter. I think, what if this message is the last one that somebody hears before they die? I think about, what about the teenager that's they're for whatever reason they're in church, you know, maybe they were dragged there, or maybe they just they saw a cute girl and they came to church or something, and they're just there, and there's only this narrow little snapshot, and you have this one chance to preach before they kind of go back into this world and culture that is just going to try to pull them in every other direction. And maybe parents that, you know, they're not supporting them in their faith life. I mean, church is as important as soccer. You know, sorry, we can't come to church today because there's a soccer practice. Well, we just, you know. So it's a very, very low priority. So there's hardly any support for the most important questions of their entire lives. Who am I? Why am I here? What's the purpose for my living? Or I think of the person, and in almost every audience there is one, somebody that is, they're wrestling with some really dark thoughts, wondering, is there any point in me even being alive? And when my heart is centered right on those kinds of questions, it starts to turn outward rather than inward. And preaching feels a little bit more like calling to the kid that's about to run off into a highway. I mean, you don't really care about the words that you say. You're just like, oh please, will you hear the message? And that's how right perspective. I mean, it changes everything. And there's an effectiveness. I mean, I know this for myself. When I'm thinking about me, I know I don't speak well because I'm so worried about me. If I'm worried about you and us, I'm going to foul up a whole lot of things. I'm not going to say things right. It's going to, you know, I'm going to trip over words. I'm going to miss points. But you're going to know the difference. And somehow, it's going to communicate much more effectively. Perspective makes all the difference. And that's why I think it's important that we have this little conversation about perspective before we move into a passage on holiness. Because see, holiness, when we usually hear it, because holiness just means like set apart, what it means to be set apart for God. You're different. You're set apart. You live differently. Is most of the time when we hear this message, at least when I hear this message, I hear it kind of like this. Andrew, so I'm you, and I'm sitting here. Smart up. That's what I hear. Like, so, get your act together, buddy. Get your poop in a group. Come on, let's figure it out. Stop messing it up so badly. Because God's going to be really disappointed with you unless your track record improves. I hear it that way. And so I'm like, oh boy, I just want to do it right. Because I want my life to be different. I want my life to, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit and stuff we talk about, you know, in the Bible, and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want more of that. And I notice that I don't have as much as I should. You probably do too. That's probably why you're here. I mean, you want your life to be better. All those kind of attributes that we kind of on a gut level, we know that's what Christianity is all about. You know, it's just living better. Like, we want to be patient and gracious and kind and generous and caring and forgiving. And you're like, dang, it's hard. So I'm going to try harder. But that's the problem. And we just turn inward. And We look to ourselves as a source of strength for all the transformation, and it goes, to use a technical term. There's a lot in me, because every time I turn inward and expect me to do the work, I'm disappointed. So I want us to take another look at this passage, because it is about holiness, and it is about, you know, our lives being different. I mean, it's a thing we long for ourselves, it's a thing we long for each other. We kind of expect church to be a place where things are different, and it can be, and it should be, and sometimes it even is. But I think we'll also see as we look at this passage that it's not by our own self-effort that we get there, but something much deeper. Issues of identity, in other words, who are you? And perspective, how do you see things? And when we remember who we are and we have the right perspective, actual life change can happen. So let's take another look. So 1 Peter, so starts with verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. No. Okay? I don't care if it's legal. With alert and fully sober, set your, what's the word? Set your hope. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Set your hope on the grace that is to be revealed when Jesus, to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed as he's coming. Let me see your eyes. The world that, you know this, but the world that we see is not all that there is. This is temporary. It will not last. That because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know his promises are certain. And one of his promises is that he's coming back again. That there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And things are going to be very different when there's a new boss in charge of the planet. And so it says, set your hope on the grace that is to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Set your hope, because a whole lot of things are going to try to steal your hope. It's going to try to upset your hope. It's going to try to distract your hope. So set your hope. Set your hope. So we need to think it through. Because, you know, when we do think it through, you think, okay, I remember that. Like 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years is, or however many we have, it is just short. It's a blip in eternity. And there's... So everything that I experience in life, both the good and the bad, is temporary. As obedient, verse 14, what's that next word? Children, right? Let's say that again. As obedient, who are you? Children of whose? God's. So, I'm a child of God, you're a child of God, we are the children of God. Who are we? Well, the children of God. Now, does God forsake his children? No. Does he unchildren his children because they don't do all the things that he hoped that they would do? No. Parents, do you abandon your children? No, you don't. And if even us, with all the sinfulness that we have in our lives, we just know on a gut level that's not going to happen, and that's not the way it works. Just think how it is for God. As obedient children, so that's an identity word, isn't it? Who are we? Who are you? I'm a child of God. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. But you see, the life change flows out of identity, flows out of who we are. We don't become God's child because we get our stuff together. No, our lives change because we are God's children. Does that make sense? I hope so, because I'm going to be talking about this concept for a few more minutes. Verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each person impartially, live out your time as, what's that next word?
Foreigners.
Foreigners. here in reverent fear. That's a perspective word, isn't it? That's how we see things. Tap your neighbor on your shoulder and say, I'm just a visitor. Then roll your eyes a little bit and talk to your other neighbor and say, to this planet. I'm just a visitor to this planet. That's a perspective word. Live out your time here as foreigners in reverent fear. And so, as we think of the things of our culture and of our time, we want to be aware, we want to be engaged, we want to be accountable, but you know what? It doesn't have our full allegiance. I happen to be a citizen of two countries. I can pay taxes all throughout North America, minus Mexico. So I'm a Canadian citizen, I'm a U.S. citizen, and when my heart stops beating, none of that matters. None of it. So I want to do all the things that a good citizen would do, and I pay my taxes, and I pray for our leaders, and you know, I engage appropriately in the political processes, and do all those things, but it does not have my final allegiance. It can't. It's temporary, and I'm just a foreigner. I'm just visiting. I'm a renter, not an owner. I'm just passing through. And here's the thing, because sometimes we think when we talk about these, you know, these heaven sermons, you know, like eternal and all this stuff, you think, you know, well, that's just so impractical. That's like later on and stuff. So later on stuff. No, I would submit to you that conversations about heaven are incredibly practical. Because, see, a foreigner's perspective can see things in a different way. We just don't get wrapped up in every little squabble, every little issue. We remember that, you know, when we pray those prayers like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You've heard that one before, right? That we are praying that small pieces of what we know to be true in heaven would come true now in our own lives. So let me just press you a little bit. Will money matter that much in heaven? So why are we so wrapped up about it now? Will politics matter all that much in heaven when none of these yahoos that we've got in our country are in charge anymore? Sorry, a little sarcasm in there. So let's be engaged. Let's be engaged. But let's not be engulfed. Right? Gives us perspective. How about this one? Will there be poverty in heaven? Will there be anybody that goes to bed hungry in heaven? No. So what are we doing about that now? Bringing little pieces of heaven. Living into the world that will be and is more certain than the world we exist in now. See, thoughts of heaven are incredibly practical. And it's the perspective, the outsider's perspective, like the person who may have maybe given you a haircut, which is why your haircut looks so good. They're not you, Bob. That's different. But for most of us, you'll get there. You'll get there. We have hope for you. We're setting our hope, Bob. It's awesome. It's perspective. It's perspective. For we know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold, all the things we strive for in this world now, that we were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Who are we? We are people who are redeemed. And so those are identity words. Who are you? You're somebody that has been set free by Jesus Christ. Who are you? You are somebody that is forgiven. Who are we? We are people who are forgiven. And so now, verse 22, that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply and from the heart. One more reminder in here. That obedience to God, like having that right perspective, remembering who we are in Christ, the identity, the perspective, all those pieces. One of the ways that we see that in practical living is with love. Genuine Christian maturity will always result in love. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. And my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. This is how people will know that you're my disciples. If you have love for one another. So don't get intimidated when you lose a Bible trivia to somebody that's really excited about how many verses they've memorized. No, that's great if you have. And I hope you do. I hope you do. You know, get to know God's word really, really well. But Christian maturity, true Christian maturity, always looks like, will always look like, love. It's when the truth doesn't just pass into our brains, but transforms our entire being. That's holiness. That's set apartness. That's when our lives are different because of God's work. That's what it's talking about here. If you have been born again, that's an identity word, isn't it? That's who you are. That's who we are. Not a perishable seed, but imperishable. Through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So how does this apply to each of us? Well, starts with identity. I am different. I am a child of God. I belong to Him. I'm redeemed and set free. I'm forgiven. Because I am different, well, I can see different. This world is not my home. I engage, but I don't get engulfed. I care. I love. But I don't let it define me. That's perspective. I am different, therefore I see different, and therefore I live different. Identity, perspective, life change. And it really is in that order. We've got to know who we are. We've got to remember who we are. We've got to look to see things from that eternal perspective. So I want to ask you today, what are you so wound up about? What thoughts have engulfed your mind in the past week? How much of that's going to matter 1,000 years from now? Could be that some of it really will. Because the money we make, you can't take it with you. I mean, we all know this. But the things in our life that we give, that sends it on ahead. So as we think things through with a sober mind, we invest ourselves in things that really, truly last and matter. You're no fool. But we sure get fooled a lot, don't we? And our minds and our thoughts turn into things that really don't last and don't matter. So I'm kind of imagining that this reminder from 1 Peter, and remember, Peter's writing to churches, they're experiencing really severe hardship. They're just starting to experience the persecution of Rome. Major church leaders are being killed off, and it looks like the mission of God is collapsing around them. And so Peter reminds them, reminds these churches and reminds us too. It's just temporary. This doesn't really last. Keep your hearts, set your hearts on that which does. So as we think about that this morning, I imagine it could land in at least two, maybe even three places. For some, you know, where you really are is with identity issues. Like, do you know that you're a child of God? And so I do want to give you a chance. If you're not certain about that, just to respond to him and just allow me to minister to you a bit, I guess. So that, you know, today might be the day that you say, Jesus, I know that I need you. I need your forgiveness and your salvation and grace in my life. I want to be, or at least be sure that I am, a child of God. So maybe for you today it's going to be an identity question. For many, I can imagine you're just wrestling with some perspective questions. You know, as you think back about over the things that you've been worried about in the past week, or the things you're anticipating about the next. Maybe your prayer might be, Lord, you've given me a new identity. Help me have a new perspective. I want to see things increasingly like you see things. I want to see myself increasingly like you see me. Help me to remember that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but what you say lasts forever. So, would you allow me to minister to you with maybe with every head bowed and every eye closed? For some today, you're responding to this word. It's going to be an identity response. And just to say, today, I want to give or maybe recommit my life to Christ. I've forgotten who I am. I need to know that I'm a child of God. So what I want to invite you to do, just so I can pray for you, I'm not going to put you on the spot, I'm not going to do anything weird, but if that's where you are today, that's where you are, let's just make eye contact. Yeah. 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 I see it. I see it. Yeah. I see it. Yeah. I see it. So for those around the room, I mean, I'm looking, talking about 10 people that are recommitting their lives to Christ today. Let's pray out loud together. I don't want to put them on the spot. So we're gonna pray out loud. So as they pray, that we might join them in that prayer. So would you join me in this short prayer? Lord Jesus, just say it out loud. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. That through your work on the cross and you're rising from the dead, I am set free. I am forgiven. And I am your child. Come into my life and lead me. Amen. Now for those who are today, these are issues of perspective. And you, just where you are is just to say, God, I help me to have that fresh perspective. Help me to see things from your eyes and not just mine. Let's pray together. Lord, you know the ways our hearts ache. You know the ways that our lives get distracted. And you know how easy it is for us to lose perspective. Would you remind us again? Would you remind me again of the good plans that you have for me in eternity? Help me, help us to discern between those things that are just temporary and should never hold our final allegiance, and those things that truly last and matter, that are worthy of our full devotion. We want our lives to count. We want our lives to matter. And we thank you that because of what you accomplished on the cross for us, they can. Help us to live out who we are, that our lives would be changed, that all of the fruit of the Spirit would increasingly be evident in each of us. And Lord, may your church be engaged in things that make an eternal difference. May we live into the kingdom that you have promised for us. It is in Jesus' name, and because of Jesus' work, that we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Gotta give God a hand here. People's lives are getting changed. God is on the move. Because the name